Will you bow your heads, please? Father, without you, we can do nothing. On our own, we usually make a mess. So I'm asking you this morning to release your grace so that this word will come alive for my brothers and sisters. And I ask that you would release open ears, open hearts, open eyes, and an open spirit, and an open heaven, that your spirit would be able to have full sway this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be going into Acts chapter 17. So if you want to take a little walk by your Holy Ghost finger to Acts chapter 17. I believe sometimes we underestimate God's plan or pre-planned circumstances. And, you know, many, many times the Holy Spirit will awaken us that He is in charge, and then we realize it's the truth. But while we're waiting for something, sometimes things can get pretty lengthy. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So, lengthy means also that you persevere and you don't let go. Paul has been on a journey doing obedience every city he goes to. And in verse 22 he said, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. Why does he give this kind of compliment? He knows that they don't have knowledge of God, but he builds them up. He does not tear them down. That's one of the first rules of giving words to someone. You do not tear them down. You give them what they have already and recognize it as a building block for the next level for God to build them up. He says, You are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, objects of worship. He does not condemn them for their idols. Notice it. I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. So he's using what they already understand as a building block to take them higher. Say to your neighbor, God's going to use everything about you to build up someone else. For the glory of our God. Amen? So, verse 24, the God who made the world. Well, I'm sorry, go backwards a little bit. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. So, he's really saying to them, you've been going to this altar of this unknown God, but I know him. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact place where they should live. Look at your neighbor again. Say, God knew where you were supposed to live. Hallelujah. I'd like to give you a little story. And I'm going to pick on Bob, my friend. Okay?
Who's the Bob, your doctor?
No, this Bob. I pick on my doctor friend a lot, but I'm going to pick on you this time. Bob and Peggy decided that they had already accomplished the purposes of God in East Long Meadow. And God decided to move them to Thorndike. Thorndike is the next village over to Three Rivers and Palmer. So they're moving in, and we got a lot of people, and And Bob is recovering from surgery, so he's limited to what he can do, but he's pretty good at giving directions. So he gave direction to all the people where this went, where that went, and so on. And Peggy, of course, worked and did the rest of the work.
And overruled everything I did.
That's right.
Not everything.
So, as I'm ready to leave, Bob says to me, oh, here's my new phone number. And so I take my pencil out and I write down the new phone number and I said, gee, I'm familiar with that phone number to myself. I didn't say it to them. So I'm thinking, my God, whose number was that that I have it recorded in my head? But you know when your brain doesn't want to click into position? Anybody know what happens?
Yes.
You question yourself and you wonder. So, all the way back to Three Rivers, which is really 1.5 to 2 miles, questioning myself. 2838438. Who is that that had this number? Couldn't remember. I'm walking to the house and I said to Irene, I said, Irene, do you remember a number that we used to call? 2838438? She says, it sounds extremely familiar, but she says, no, I don't. So I kind of left it alone, but an hour later, it's bugging me. Anybody know how it bugs?
Yeah.
It bugs. That number is just flowing through my brain, and I'm saying, I know, I know, I know. Finally, a thought hits, and it says, it was your brother's number. Your brother and his wife lived down street Three Rivers, and they had that number for 20-something years. So now I'm not totally convinced, so I called their daughter in Westfield, and I said, by the way, Jeanette, what was the phone number when you were a kid? She said, 2838438. I said, yay, I finally got the connection. So I called back Bob, and I said, Bob, it was designed that you are my brother, because you even got his phone number.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening? Are you really listening? Are you listening? He determined the times set for them and the exact place where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him, in Christ. You live, you move, and you have your reality. Look at your neighbor again. Say, you're not an accident.
You're not an accident.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're not an accident.
You're not an accident.
You're related to me.
You're related to me.
By God's choice.
By God's choice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're living at the right place.
You're living at the right place.
Because God chose.
God chose.
It might not have been your best.
It might not have been your best.
Or your choice.
Or your choice.
But it was Papa's plan.
But it was Papa's plan.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What am I saying to you? Sometimes we wonder why God does certain things a certain way. And then, how many know that darkness tries to question you? Tries to make you question yourself. Try to push your buttons till you're half cuckoo, figuring out why did he put you where he did.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right. He did it because he had a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for me, says the Lord. Huh?
Yes.
God knows. So if you think you're so smart, I've got news for you. My brother had that phone number from 1955. Okay? I don't know anybody who had that number after he went home to be with the Lord, because he died at 44. And his wife kept the number, I would say, let's see, I'm trying to figure it out roughly, I would say 1980 or 79, when she sold the property and moved. So look what I'm trying to tell you. The orchestration of the Holy Ghost, putting you where you are for His own purpose. And you may not like where you are. You may be unhappy about your experience. You may not be totally joyful about what God has done. But if you turn it over to Him and remind Him, you know, He doesn't mind being reminded. He does, however, turn the other way when you complain too much. Because complaints are not His specialty. When you begin to rejoice and give Him thanks for the way that things are going in spite of your emotions, because emotions get us into tangled up spaces. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those emotions can be deadly. Okay? Now, let's go back to the Word. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offsprings. Therefore, since we are God's offsprings, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now He commands all people everywhere to repent, which means change your mind. The word repent is not when you sit on the floor or get on your hands and knees and cry for 3 days and think you've changed your mind, because you haven't. I've seen people say, oh, I cried unto the Lord. It's not crying that's going to solve anything. It's to change your mind. Get God's opinion of stuff. Verse 31. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead. Okay. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't know anyone who rose from the dead. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, you know He didn't stay dead. And your relationship will mature as you grow in the reality of that resurrection. You know, He wants to shake us and He wants to change us, but we've got to be willing to give. It's not just finances we need to give. It's love, acceptance, and compassion in the midst of difficulties. Verse 32. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Right now with the 99, that's what's happening in our city. Some are hearing. Some will reject. Some will walk away only with a seed. Others will mature and grow up and become what God has called them to become. Why does it take so long sometimes for God to awaken us to what He really wants from us? It's because He's trying to get us from looking at ourselves to looking at Him to make us grow up. And when we start looking at Him to make us grow up, we then become free. We become free to be who we are in Christ. In Him you live, you have your being. But when you're free to be yourself, it's going to be an awesome, wonderful time. It's going to be an awesome, wonderful time. Because it's an adventure that never, never stops. Now tighten your seatbelts. Less than an hour ago, I came to the pulpit here. And I had a real strong nudge that I needed to go to the men's room. And there was a physical urge, but it could have waited. So I went to the men's room, and I had the bottle of oil in my pocket. Well, there's a gentleman there that walks in after I at the sink washing my hands. And I know him. And he went and did what he needed to do. And I found myself waiting in the little foyer area, and we're talking back and forth. And he says, I just went by the room. And it's very quiet. And we never leave the door open. But the door today was open. And there were some laying all over the altar on the ground. So he got nosy. And God opened my mouth. He asked about 5 or 6 more questions. And I reached out my hands, and he brought his 2 hands into mine. And we prayed. And I had a prayer that came from God's heart. And he said, thank you very much. That was awesome. Then he says, do you have a preparation before you start? I said, no, we never know what we're going to do. It's never the same. There's no formula. Praise God, there's no formula. He asked a few more questions, and I gave a few more answers that I knew. And then I said, would you have a problem being anointed with oil? I remember the bottle is in my pocket. He said it would offend. My leadership. And I looked at him and I said, I understand that because I've lived there. I remember a day when no one but those that were connected to me from years were accepted at the altar. I've learned, however, that it took me 52 years to get free. At 52, God freed me from all that stuff. But it was God's doing, so my prayer is that God will do the same for you when he's ready. It won't be man pulling on you. It'll be the Holy Spirit doing his work like he did with me. Church got spread to the men's room.
All right. Hallelujah.
Are you hearing?
Yes.
What am I saying? When God has a plan, he'll use your natural as well as your spiritual senses to get you where you need to go. Amen? What did the scripture say? Look it. He determines the time set for them and exact place where they should live or meet. Mm-hmm. Do not underestimate what Papa wants. Mm-hmm. It's not whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
Are you kidding?
I married Lola. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I married Lola.
Okay.
And I'm not picking on her. I wanted her to be happy all the time. And when she was happy, I was happy. Until the Lord said, no more. When the Lord, and if the Lord, when he does it, it'll be okay. Because it'll be a sovereign work, and it won't offend anyone.
Because I noticed the door open, and I was like, why do you have the door open?
I don't know, and I don't need to know.
It just stayed
up. But Papa, amen?
Yeah.
Try it on. Whatever Papa wants, Papa gets. Come on! Gee, you guys are chicken!
Are you drunk?
Yes?
I don't mean to be nosy, but how many times in the last 12 months have you gone to the men's room during service?
0. Amen! Totally agree! Now we needed that one today! Yes!
I love it, Mike. Thank you. It just goes that there's a new description for the throne room. Yes.
This past week at school, we've been getting ready for graduation, which was Friday night. And Thursday, we had graduation over at Chickabee Comp practice. And everybody was bickering, and I was just sitting there praying in the spirit. And on the way back to school, I rode in with two teachers that are in the classroom next to me. And they were like, rah, 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 rah. And finally, I was in the back seat, and I laid hands on them, and I said, enough! And I started praying over them. And I just didn't stop until we got back to the school, and then they were like, thank you. I couldn't, and you know, they were allowing circumstances to get them so upset, and I'm like, let it go, get over it. But it was a witness for me.
And you can do all things through Christ
who strengthens.
And you were at the right place,
right in the back seat, so I could touch a bow.
Amen.
And a stoplight too, which was good. It was good.
Yes.
Listening to Clarice Fluitt,
yes.
She was giving a testimony of being at a Benny Hinn conference,
yeah.
And getting a word that she had to start a church in
from the bishop.
Hong Kong, from the bishop in Singapore.
And she said, you're out of your mind.
Exactly. And the place that the church was going to be was in a brothel. And all these women were at this Benny Hinn conference, all these... You know,
ladies of the night.
Ladies of the night were all at this conference, and they all received the Lord. And she went, and it took a year. They were still like she said. She was, you know, would pray with each one, but she wasn't saying, you know, you must repent and all this. They literally were going on with their business, and yet the power of the Lord was still working through them. Because one of them's, she referred to him as a paramour. She said he was a Buddhist who needed a healing, and here's the woman who's the madam.
The madam of the house.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, prays for
the Buddhist man.
The Buddhist man.
Very rich.
Very rich, and gets healed. The guy gets healed, right? And it's like, and Clarice is like, you know, praise, you know, she's like, you know, they're singing the Lord's praises, and yet it's like, well, we're going to have a service tonight. Oh, no, we can't have a service tonight. We work at night. So it took a year, but it became a full-blown church in Hong Kong. So, I mean, it's like, that's how, you know, without condemnation, the Lord, you know, just opened up this.
The power of God.
I think the highlight of that whole thing is on the second CD. And I listened to the second CD yesterday for the first time.
Oh, okay.
And so she said, here is God working back and forth. She's going back and forth to Hong Kong to bring this church into reality in a brothel. But she learned later that the madam went back to her husband. They started a church in Manila, and she is now the pastor's wife. So, you see, if you have a critical mind about getting them holy, what are you doing? You're playing God. She wanted to teach them about sin. And she said, the more she tried to teach them about sin, the more the Holy Spirit kept saying, ah, what are you doing? Tell them I love them. So tell your neighbor, love will conquer all. And he, by his love, will clean them up. Amen? And amen. So he's cleaning us up. And that's okay. Because when God does it, it's not offensive. When people try to clean you up, what happens? We get sensitive and we get reactionary and we get what?
Judgmental.
Yes! Judgmental and critical. You heard the message now. Bow your heads. Father, releasing your Holy Spirit now to bring them higher. Releasing them to take them where you need to take them, spiritually and physically.
and releasing your grace on every level. And also for those who are going to minister tonight at the 99. Father, bless and release your spirit upon these that you have chosen for your glory. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
And Darlene.